Despite an improving national economy, better job numbers, and a positive labor market for young adults, a new Pew Research study shows that millennials are not leaving home. Why not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A lot of young adults moved back in with their parents when the Great Recession hit at the end of the last decade. But now, even with an improved economy, according to this new Pew Research study, millennials are still less likely to leave the nest. In fact, there are more millennials living at home today than ever before. We will talk about why, and we will welcome your thoughts and your questions, maybe even your own experiences. Why are members of the millennial generation living with their parents longer into adulthood? What is stopping them from striking out on their own? Are you a millennial living at home? What's going on? Are you the parent of one? Do you mind? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. He is Adam Ozimek, an economist and assistant director for Moody's Analytics, where he covers state and regional economies as well as U.S. labor markets and demographics. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. So, what do you make of this new Pew Research study that millennials are not too keen to move out of their parents' home?
Well, it's a well done report. It's hard not to be disappointed in these results, I think, for people who are watching the economy and were hoping for a rebound and millennials ready to move out of the basement. And you've heard some news stories that they're getting ready to move out. They are moving out. But then we look at the data, and it's just not showing up yet.
Yeah, so why does that disappoint you?
The housing market's an important factor in the economy. And when people build new homes, that construction generates jobs. And it's been a big missing ingredient in the recovery so far. And one of the reasons is that millennials are living with their parents and they're not forming their own households. And waiting for that sort of household growth to help drive the real estate and construction markets, that's something that economists have been looking for, and it just hasn't turned up yet. So it's a missing piece of the economic recovery.
So, what is going on? If the economy is improving, but it hasn't improved enough, or the millennials are just like in the basement, or what's happening?
Well, there's no simple answer here, unfortunately. Economists love simple answers when they're available, but it's really a complex, multifaceted problem, and there are a lot of things driving it. To start with, you have the job market for young people is lagging the rest of the job market.
So for young people, the jobs that are out there are just not really for young people, but other people?
There's some of that, and there's also that older workers with more experience are taking jobs that have traditionally been for younger workers. So there's more competition out there. With manufacturing jobs going away and declines in finance and other sectors, you have older workers who are taking jobs that would have before been for an inexperienced young person working in the service sector and retail, and so they're facing more competition from these older workers.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It'd be better if there were good jobs for those older workers, and it would be easier for millennials to get their foot on the ladder.
Well, so what else besides the job market is lagging for young people?
Well, there's also the indirect effect of that is it's harder to find jobs, and the jobs that they're finding aren't quite as high paying. So income has been weak, and it's just now starting to reach levels that they were making before the recession. So they don't have as many jobs, and they don't have as much money. So that's another factor that's related to the job market.
So they might have a job, but maybe not a well-paying job, so therefore they still are living with mom and dad.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
some other things are more long-term. And that's one thing that the Pew Report doesn't quite go into as much, but there is a longer-run trend here with young people going to college. And when you're in college, you're less likely to start a household, and you're more likely to live at home. And this is a trend that goes back for decades, and it sort of increased during the recession. You had people who might have gone to straight out of high school to work, but chose to go to college instead because the jobs aren't there, and that's sort of depressing home ownership a little bit. And that's sort of a mixed thing. You know, the weak labor market for young people is obviously a negative all around, but the college attendance is a plus and a minus.
Yeah, well, I'm curious. I'm guessing maybe some are college graduates already, and maybe are also have a lot of student loans. Does that play into this at all?
Yes, yeah, student loan debt is definitely another factor. It's important not to exaggerate the impact of student loans, though. It is one thing, but it's not the only thing. And some of the stories we read about student loans tend to make the problem look worse than it is. For example, you hear that the average student loan is around $25,000, but that number is skewed by a small percentage of students who take on really, really large loan amounts, $200,000 and up. If you look at the median, or like what the average student has, it's more like $14,000, which is a lot less than $25,000, and it's more like a car loan rather than a home down payment. So it's not quite as bad as many make it out to be, but there is some evidence that it is a factor.
I'm thinking that some of the young people today living at home with mom and dad are maybe also saving some money because they want to make a down payment on that house. Is that the case?
Yeah, I think so. There's a sort of media story out there that young people don't want to own homes anymore. But if you look at surveys of what people want to do in the future, young people still have the same desire to buy a home eventually that, past generations have had. So it's not true that people just want to rent from now on. It's not true that underlying preferences have changed so drastically after the recession. So there's certainly some people that are saving up and getting ready to buy a house at some point.
Yeah, so why don't you give us an idea of the millennials who are staying home? Is it a certain age demographic? Can you just kind of paint the picture? Who's staying home?
Well, this gets at sort of the complexity of the issue. I mean, if there were like one specific kind of person who was staying at home, it would be easy to look at their conditions and say, this is what's driving it. But the increase in living at home really cuts across demographic and economic conditions. So if you look at the young people who have a job, young people who are unemployed, and young people who are totally out of the labor force, I mean, they're not even looking for work, all three groups have seen an increase in living at home. So just because you have a job, that's not the single ingredient to getting out of the house.
Do we know how large a group we're talking about?
Overall?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about, like, the number of young people went up by a few million, and the number, I think, about 3 million since 2007. And the number of households, young people living independently, hasn't really moved at all. So we're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 million people. Now, that's if people are going to go back to the previous behavior. Like I said, there are some longer-term trends here, so it's hard to say, when the economy is healthy and all these negative factors sort of work their way out of the system, how many of these people are actually going to choose to move out of the house and how many are more permanent. It's tough to say. But, somewhere, I would venture somewhere in the neighborhood between 1 to 3 million people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to get in trouble if I name names, but I recall a sibling or two who moved back home, but this was my generation. How do the findings today compare to previous generations?
It's historically, it's up. I mean, the number of people who live at home when they're young has increased over time, both in the short run and in the long run. This has always happened. It didn't go from zero people, ages 24 to 34 living at home, to the millions that we see now. There have always been young people who stayed at home longer. And if you go back, you know, historically, there's been an upward trend. There was an upward trend up through the 80s as people were, the economy was growing real fast, and you had divorce rates were going up was one of the things that was driving up independent households. And then starting in the 80s, it started to come back down.
Chris called in to say kids today are staying home more and longer because they like their parents, and their parents are fun. Chris says, I'm a boomer, and my parents were no fun. Well, is there some sort of a social thing going on here, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, but it is one of the things that makes this problem interesting, is if you look at trends in home ownership and housing formation, it's not all economic. There's absolutely social trends, and many of these things are hard to measure, and it makes it difficult to forecast. It makes it difficult to say, is this a permanent change or is this a temporary change, and is this going to reverse or not? And I don't know about young people liking their parents more, but it's certainly true that homes have gotten bigger over time, and so it's easier for young people to live at home than it used to be. Back in the 80s, houses were much smaller than they are today. So a lot of the baby boomer parents are sitting in houses with lots of empty bedrooms. And it's much less of a strain on the young people and the old people for them to move back in than it used to be.
We are talking about a new Pew Research study that shows that members of the millennial generation are staying at home with mom and dad longer and in bigger numbers than ever before. And we're talking about why this is, and we'll talk more about what it means to the economy, too. And we'll welcome your questions and your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Adam Ozimek, an economist and assistant director for Moody's Analytics, where he covers state and regional economies as well as U.S. labor markets and demographics. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about why so many millennials, so many members of the millennial generation are still living with their parents longer into adulthood. With the economy improving, even more millennials are living at home than ever before, according to a new Pew Research study. We're talking about this study and welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest economist, Adam Ozimek. And our first caller is David in Green Bay. Hi, David.
Hi. I'm kind of on the front lines with this because I'm 60 years old. I raised three sons. I got one living in the basement right now. He's 29. And I don't know how he's ever going to get out of there because of school loans. You know, rent is, if you want a decent place to rent, it's like over $1,000 a month. Everything is just so doggone expensive. I remember by the time I was his age, I had three kids, was married, and had a house. And there's no way. My oldest son has a house, was married. But, boy, they're really, you know, living on the edge. And my youngest took a job in Alaska. But their rent's $1,400 a month, and they're both working, and they're just existing, okay? And they both make good money. But it's the cost of everything that's just driving these kids broke.
And is your 29-year-old, does he have a job, but just not a job that will pay for rent?
He went to school for physical therapy, and he's working part-time at the hospital, but he's also doing flooring. He's working two jobs. I hardly ever see the kid. But he, you know, his car pooped out the other day, and that's the other thing. It costs so much to get a car fixed. He's looking at about a $2,000 bill on that, and that's just going to throw him further back. And it's the cost of everything. It's just outrageous. I guess if you're a corporate CEO, you know, happy times are here again. But if you're a working slug, and a lot of these young people today are not starting out with high wages. My oldest only started out of college. He was making $28,000 a year. And my other son, about the same. And but he's doing well in Alaska. But, I mean, they're not. I still make more than they do and in what I do. But these kids, boy, they got a really hard road to follow and pay off college loans besides and rent and live.
Yeah, and David, hold on a second. So, Adam, that's David says that everything costs so darn much.
Yeah, rent is absolutely a factor in what's going on here. You see that usually when young people want to go out and rent an apartment, there's ample supply there. But after the housing bubble burst, you had a lot of older people who normally would have been single-family homeowners start looking for rentals. Their credit scores were hurt. They had a foreclosure. They may have lost their job. And the home ownership rate went down across all age groups. So now when a young person goes out to rent a place, they're competing in the rental market against, you know, 35-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, even 60-year-olds, and it's just a lot more crowded. The good news is that there is a lot of multifamily units being built in the country, and I do think that those pressures are going to start to ease over the next year or two as those units start coming online. And as the economy improves, the older people should start moving back into home ownership. But yeah, right now it's a hard time to be a renter.
Yeah. What about the wages too? With you know, David's son is working two jobs, and now his car broke down, and he's going to have a hard time even paying for that. We need higher wages.
Yeah, higher wage growth is another missing piece of the puzzle. I mean, starting wages for young people are just now getting back to where they were at the beginning of the recession, and there's a lot of room for improvement there. Again, I'm an optimist here. Over the next 2 years, I think the unemployment rate is still falling, both overall and for young people, and employers soon are going to start finding it harder to hire people. Up until now, for the last few years, if you wanted a new worker, it was really easy. You didn't have to raise salaries to find them because there are so many unemployed. But over the next six months, a year, year and a half, workers are going to have a harder time finding people like David's son, and they're going to have to start raising wages to lure them as the job market tightens.
So there is some hope for David's son and David, presumably, that he said he didn't see any way for his 29-year-old to get out of the basement.
Yeah, I think the improving economy over the next 2 years is going to make things a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, David, does that make you feel better?
I think eventually he'll probably move on. He's got a wonderful young girlfriend right now that's going to be graduating college too, so I think they'll be moving on. But wages are really down in the pooper across the country. They are. When I was a young man starting out, rent was fairly cheap. You know, you could rise up. Now these kids, man, they are dragging a ball and chain behind them. It's terrible. And I don't know. It's really scary for some of these young people.
Yeah. Anything further on that, Adam?
I mean, there is a longer-term story where wages haven't grown as fast as they had in previous decades. So David probably saw his income was a lot higher throughout his lifetime, was higher than his parents was at the same age, and his son isn't going to see as much improvement because wages aren't growing fast. But overall, the long run picture is that wages are moving up over time. The economy is delivering higher standards of living. It's just it's a little hard to believe that right now, given the current poor state of the labor market.
Yeah. So when baby boomers, David's left us now, but when he said he was 60, I mean, a lot of the baby boomers are going to be retiring in mass, aren't they? I mean, isn't there going to be, I've always heard there's going to be a labor shortage in a not too distant future.
Yeah, that's one thing that's happening. We're already seeing that labor force participation, which is the share of people that are working, is going down in the U.S. steadily starting in around 2000. And one of the factors is that baby boomers are retiring. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at that. One is that, well, that means there's going to be, you know, more positions for young people to move up into. But, you know, on the downside, that means there's going to be less people to found companies and executives to do hiring and managing. And finally, it means that there's going to be less people paying the taxes that have to cover social services for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not clear that on net, the retiring of the baby boomers is going to be a good thing for young people when you consider all those various forces.
Let's take another call from Chris in Omro. And
hi,
Chris.
I'm calling about my daughter who lives at home. She's 31. She was in the Navy for 9 years and had two separate households on each side of the U.S. And then she got out and moved in with us to use her GI Bill money. She graduated in May and had a job right away, and she's working on building a house right now.
Yeah, so you're not too concerned about this, Chris?
No, I'm not. She's got a pretty level head and knows what she's doing. Probably the hardest thing with somebody living in your household is to treat your child like an adult.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, how a reaction to Chris's situation, a daughter who lives at home after going to college, after being in the military?
It sounds like she's on her way out, and
yeah.
She's one of the lucky ones.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Chris. Let's go next to Greg in Lake Geneva. Hi, Greg.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What's your situation?
My situation is as a business owner, my insurance rates have gone up because we have to cover our employees with children up to age 26. I wonder what the incentive is for young people to stay home because they continue to get more economic insurance coverage up to that age.
Huh. Would that happen, though, if they were not at home? I thought it would. Adam, do you know?
I think that any 26-year-old can qualify. You don't have to live with your parents.
Right. So, is that what you meant, Greg?
Well, the family coverage, of course, would be constant in cost for me as an employer, and the coverage of the 26-year-old, of course, is basically free for the individual to stay home. He doesn't have to go home or buy an individual policy. He's covered under his parents' policy.
Right, but I guess, I'm sorry, Greg, I thought the law says that child is covered until he or she is 26, whether that child is at home or not.
Correct, but they don't have to buy coverage because the company coverage covers them.
Oh, does that mean, do you have any comment on that, Adam?
Sure, I think that, what Greg might be thinking here is that if you have insurance coverage and you're a young person, that decreases your incentive to get a job. You know, you can live at home or by yourself, but it just, you don't feel that pressure to get a job, to get employed. But I would say to that young people actually don't really value insurance that much because they're pretty healthy and they're less concerned about getting sick, and that's one of the things that was supposed to happen and is being hoped to happen with Obamacare. Is they're trying to sort of nudge younger people into getting insurance because they don't on their own feel that it's as necessary as someone who's a little bit older does. So I'm not sure that the free insurance coverage is a major factor in keeping young people out of work.
I get it. I'm sorry, Greg, I wasn't understanding where you're going with that. Megan in Reedsburg is with us. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Joy. I'm calling because I just recently graduated with my master's degree, and I will be graduating with a significant amount of debt, and that was with, I was very thankful that I had two parents to help me, and I had multiple jobs throughout undergrad and my graduate career. But when I went to decide on my monthly loan payments, my suggested income was supposed to be over $100,000. And, you know, clearly I won't even be making half of that with my job. And I'm grateful that I am one of those people that was able to get a job right out of college. But I think the student loans is really something that I know a lot of people who will be moving home because, I mean, my student loan monthly payment will be well over $700 a month, and it is a big stressor, and that was with a lot of help that I'm very grateful for, but I just wanted to share that, so I'll take my comments off the air. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Adam?
Yeah, I think that's a really, that's a not uncommon story where someone goes for a degree in a field that they're interested in, and then they get out and they find that the wages they're not exactly what they expected. And I do think that this is probably one of the most important things that the government can help with in the student debt problem, is to make sure that there's better information out there for young people. People should know, when I go to this school, when I take this degree program, this is what my average salary would be. And there's not a whole lot of transparency about that now. And I think that incentivizing more transparency about that will make sure that people know what they're getting into. And then you can compare your debt level to your expected income beforehand, and it's not a big shock afterhand that the master's in medieval poetry doesn't cover the $200,000 student debt burden.
I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about a new Pew Research study that finds that despite an improving economy and more jobs, more millennials are still living at home, more millennials living at home than ever before. We're talking about why they are more reluctant than previous generations to leave the nest, talking about why this is all important to our economy, and welcoming your questions and your experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Maria in Milwaukee. Hi, Maria.
Hi there. I just had a comment, and I understand your guest is an economist, so that's kind of where the conversation is headed. But I just want to make the point that I don't think it's all about money and the economy. And I understand that people out, you know, buying houses is, you know, contributes to the economy. But I think having a multi-generational household can be a really strong, great experience for the people and the community, and you know, grandparents living with grandchildren and parents. I mean, it's nice to have somebody to come home to that cares if you are home or not, you know, cares if you got a sore throat, rather than just a roommate or living by yourself and cooking for yourself. I don't think it's such a bad thing.
I'm glad you called. You know, I don't have children, Adam, but I wish I did, because they'd be taking care of me when I need them too. What about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that anyone wants this to go away entirely. And you know, like I mentioned, there have always been people who lived at home, and not everything is about the economy, as the caller mentioned, and that's what makes this sort of challenging, is that you see these changes, and it's hard to predict whether they're permanent or temporary, because you don't know if it's economic or social factors. Mm-hmm. And you know, the sort of thing this caller mentioned and another caller mentioned, where you know, people just like living at home with their parents more. That's not something that we can measure, and that's not something we can know if it's changed. But we do know that, based on surveys, that young people still do want to own their own homes. So they do see that as a vision for their future. And that makes me suspect that, and you know, the way that some of this change has happened just as the economy changed, we do suspect that some of this is economic, a good portion of it. But I think caller's absolutely right that there's social things here, and not all changes in living at home are bad, and you know, there's good reasons, there's bad reasons, and there's benign reasons. So I think the caller's absolutely right there.
Do we know from this study if this is just millennials living at home, or do we have a growing, you know, multi-generational households with grandma, parents, and children all together?
I mean, you do see some doubling up, but that doesn't mean across generations, but that's not necessarily non-economic either. Because, you know, you might be someone in your 40s or 50s and you lost your job in a manufacturing company, and so you move in with your brother or sister or a friend or your children. And so millennials aren't the only ones being affected by the economy here.
Do we know how this trend is affecting, for example, young women getting pregnant or young couples marrying? Is it changing that?
Well, I would say it's more likely to be being changed by that. Young people, their rates of childbirth have been falling for a long time now across the, you know, income, racial, and ethnic groups. So that's a trend that's been happening for a while, and certainly it's another thing that the recession exacerbated. And again, we have a circumstance here where it's hard to tell how much of the recent drop is because of the recession and how much is just a continuation of those sorts of long-term trends. I mean, when my parents were my age, I'm only 32, when they were my age, they had three kids, one of whom was almost 12 years old, and I don't have any kids yet, and I think this is a pretty common scenario that young people are having children later now than older people were.
We are talking with our guest economist, Adam Ozimek. He's an economist, assistant director for Moody's Analytics, where he covers state and regional economies as well as U.S. labor markets and demographics, about a new Pew Research study that finds that despite an improving economy, more and more millennials, members of the millennial generation, are still living at home. Why are millennials living with their parents longer into adulthood? What is preventing them from striking out on their own? Are you a millennial living at home or the parent of one? How's that working for you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Despite an improving national economy, better job numbers, and a more positive labor market, a new Pew Research study finds that millennials are not leaving home. We're taking a look at why the millennial generation is not apparently ready to live independently. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mike in Jackson is with us. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different demographics working here. One is the kid that didn't go to college, so he's probably going to start in the labor market at maybe $12-15 an hour. To buy a new house right now, you need 20% down, and the banksters who created the whole thing back in the 2000s, they're requiring 20% down. How is he going to come up with that? The other, you know, without some help, the other demographic, my daughter, her husband, went to Madison, got college degrees. She had about $7,000 in loans. She's getting it paid off in a month or two. Her husband has $50,000. He pays $700 a month. They were able to buy a house with help from us. We're fixing it up in that. So you look at those two demographics, how are they ever to get into a house? And then you have the business owner that called before. He probably supports Reaganomics, which has driven wages down. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, well, the housing cost is through the roof, so to speak. Adam, what about that?
Well, the caller's not quite right. You can still get FHA-insured mortgages for as low as 3.5% down payments. So it's not true that you need the full 20%. Now, it is true that lenders have raised their standards, and it's harder to get a loan than it used to be, and it's harder to get a low down payment than it used to be. and lenders want more down payments, but it's not impossible, and it's not no longer an option. In terms of the low wages for entry level people that just have the high school diploma, that's definitely true, and you know it's undeniable that it's harder and harder to think of entering the middle class with just a high school diploma. It's not impossible. I mean, there are good jobs out there that you can get with just a high school diploma. You can certainly climb up the ladder into middle class and even upper class with just a high school diploma, but it is harder than it used to be. And more and more people are seeing a college degree as a requirement for that sort of upward mobility. And I definitely want to emphasize, I think that the case is often exaggerated there, and there are lots of opportunities for high school people, but certainly true less than before.
Let me ask you if you have a thought on this, Adam. If the millennial generation today is, expecting to be in better a better environment, expecting, for example, the baby boomers, when we went to school, we lived in college student housing, just complete dives. And then once we got out of college, we still lived in dives. I mean, maybe the millennials expect a little more luxury than that.
It's funny. That's definitely something I've heard anecdotally, but that's a really hard thing to measure with data. You know, a sort of rise in the demand for luxurious living and or luxurious lifestyles for millennials. That's really, it's not something I know how we would even measure, but I would say we have more explanations for the decline than we need. Just looking at changes in the economy and long-term changes in social demographics, I would say given that the drop is sort of over-explained, we don't really have a good reason to reach for additional hypotheses.
Yeah, so we don't have to look for other reasons.
Exactly. We've got more than enough reasons already.
Jackie in Middleton is with us. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Joy. I actually really think that your point that you just made about the materialistic nature of millennials nowadays is actually a really valid one. I find that to be the case with a lot of the people I associate with and find tendencies like that in myself. But my main point was I wanted to ask Adam how he factors in personal responsibility to this equation, because in response to a previous caller, he had stated that transparency and wages was necessary, but you know, my feeling is that wage information, while it is somewhat available, it's not necessarily the driving force between, you know, children picking careers or young adults picking careers. I think they can estimate fairly what they will make versus what their debt ratio will be. What's your comments on that,
Adam?
I do think that there's a lot of misunderstanding about what people are going to make, and there should be better information out there. But one thing you do see is that in a recession, especially this last recession, people shift more towards degrees that are higher paying, like engineering and economics, and they shift away from more liberal arts degrees that are lower paying. So I think the fact that you're seeing people change their behavior based on the economy, change their degree behavior, shows that there is some consideration of wages there. But I do think we see more what you would easily describe as a mistake or an error, in that, you know, someone is surprised by the level of their debt and the wages that they can get. I think that the fact that we see so many of those examples, it's hard to say that there's perfect information out there for people in deciding what majors to take and what their lives are going to look like after they're done.
Nicole on Facebook says, as a millennial, there are two reasons why I don't buy a home. I was always told about good debt growing up, and I lived through 2008 watching all that good debt lose people their livelihoods, their homes, and marriages. I've decided I'm sick of debt, and I won't go into more debt until mine is paid off, student loans and auto loans. Another reason I have no interest in a house is because I'm not sure I want to settle down in the town that I live in. It's not smart to buy a house unless you're willing to commit for at least 5 years to staying in it. So what about Nicole's reasons, Adam?
Those are good reasons. I think Nicole sounds like a thoughtful, responsible person, and I think it's always been the case that there are people who think along those lines, but I'm not sure that it's the case now any more than it has been in the past. In fact, you know, a common story that you hear is that people are moving now more for jobs, and that millennials have to be super mobile to find some place to work, and you know, people don't stay in the towns that they live in as long anymore. But in fact, if you look at the data, people are moving less than they used to. So I don't think that a need to be super mobile is what's driving millennials out of home ownership. It's absolutely a relevant consideration. It always has been a relevant consideration. I don't know that it's any more important now than it's ever been, but I definitely agree with Nicole that's something that people should think about.
Yeah, and we touched on it in the very beginning, but how big a hit is this to our economy? How big of a chokehold on the economy is it that millennials are not buying homes as much as they could be?
And that's a really tough thing to know. I mean, one of the complications about this that I haven't mentioned yet is that data on home ownership and household formation is really not that great. I mean, the Pew did a good job considering the data that's available, but the government publishes multiple data sources about household formation, and they don't always agree with each other. And so that's an uncertainty that's built into this. The other uncertainty is that we don't know how much of this behavior is permanent versus temporary, so we don't know how much room there is for people to actually change their behavior, for millennials to move out. And the other uncertainty is we don't know how much more room there is for builders to be building the multifamily homes that millennials would want. So they're already building them really rapidly in a lot of places, and single family homes aren't being built, but the homes that millennials are, because that's what people are looking for. And construction companies, there's a limit to how fast you can sort of put up these multifamily buildings. So it's not clear. I mean, that's why rents are high, and that's what's keeping young people in their homes. So it's hard to say that if the only thing that changed was that young people, regardless of their circumstances, regardless of the rent and out there in the labor markets, if they all decided, you know what, I'm going to move out of my parents' basement anyway, it's hard to say how much of a difference that would make unless people start building more multifamily homes, and unless jobs for these millennials start opening up, and unless wages go up enough to allow them to pay for it. So it's a complicated picture, and it's hard to say how much moving just one lever would do.
Yeah. Well, I think you just answered my next question, but I mean, what are the solutions? What are the economic improvements that could be targeted specifically for millennials to assist in this situation?
Well, the best way to improve the economy is to let the Federal Reserve do its job at this point. Earlier on in the recession, there was more room for the federal government to take other actions like the Stimulus Act or, you know, infrastructure spending, things of that nature, because the Federal Reserve lowered their interest rates all the way as low as they could go. The best way to fight recessions, when economists agree, is to let the Federal Reserve do their job. But now that we're, you know, getting closer to full employment, the best thing we can hope for is that the Federal Reserve doesn't raise interest rates too fast, that they don't look at the labor market and say, this looks like full employment, I think it's time to start raising, that they let things, you know, keep heating up without putting on the brakes too soon. Mm-hmm. In terms of targeting millennials specifically, I don't think we should be doing any policies that address these sort of short-run changes in behavior that we're seeing. And like I said, some of the long-run changes are good. You know, people are going to college more. We don't want to discourage that. I do think the biggest the biggest long-term problem that needs to be addressed, other than the weak labor market, is the college debt problem. And like I said there, I think the most important thing that the government can do there is get better information out.
Let's go to Dawn in Wauwatosa next. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Joy. Benjamin Franklin said over 200 years ago that families or households would form when there were economic underpinnings to support them. So I don't think there's anything new here.
This isn't new, Adam?
Well, if you look at the ratio over time or the rate of household formation, it's not all about the economy. There are lots of trends, things that happen that drive, you know, household formation that are just, they're not related to the job market. And so with an appropriate amount of humility, I'm going to have to disagree with Ben Franklin that it's all about the economy.
Is this happening in other countries, or is it just a U.S. thing?
I can't speak mm-hmm. specifically with regards to yeah. millennials living at home versus with their parents, but we have absolutely seen across countries a decline in labor force participation for young people. And I think one of the factors that sort of extends across countries is that older workers are competing more with younger workers in entry-level positions because the opportunities for them aren't as great as they used to be.
Tracy in Oak Creek. Hi, Tracy.
Hello. Hi, I'm calling to say, in regards to millennials living at home, I do have two young children that live at home, age 20 and 22. Daughter started out going to college and dropped out due to not wanting to start her young adult life in debt for the rest of her life. Decided to go into the work world. My son learned from his sister's footsteps and went directly into the work world. Neither of them would be able to afford to live on their own. However, they are able to fully, you know, pay for their own cars, their own fuel, their insurance. They cost me nothing. Actually, they save me because I'll come home and my refrigerator is full of food. I can't remember the last time I've been to a grocery store. So I see a lot of positive effects to the children staying at home, given the economic choices that are mm-hmm. currently out there.
Yeah, so maybe it's not all bad in less than a minute, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly agree with the caller that, you know, this gets back to my point earlier, that if all that we saw happen was young people decide, you know, labor market and housing market be darned, I'm moving out. It wouldn't necessarily make people that much better off, because, you know, what really matters is that the labor market improves and the opportunities improve and the housing market grows fast enough to accommodate these people and bring down rents. So yeah. I think the caller has a good point.
And what are you going to be looking for in the next Pew research study on this?
Well, I'm going to be looking for some upticks in the home ownership rate and housing formation. I'll be watching the data myself in the meantime.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Adam Ozimek, economist, assistant director for Moody's Analytics, where he covers state and regional economies as well as the U.S. labor markets and demographics, talking with us about the new Pew Research study on millennials and how that, despite an improved economy, even more millennials are living at home than ever before. Thanks to Marika Suval, to Christy Taylor, to Elizabeth Deliquess, and to Bill Martins. They produce and direct these programs. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. We'll talk about a life that matters tomorrow at this time. This is the Ideas Network.